Just suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one worthy to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed, that would buy eternal life for you and me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. I'm so glad that he was willing to drink his bitter cup. Although he prayed, "Father, let it pass from me," I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels from my hands for the nails that torment me. For a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. So I'll share the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Then forever my soul would be lost.
Thank God for Calvary. Amen. Where would we be if the God of heaven didn't love us the way he loves us? Well, I know the answer to that, and I believe you do too. We'd be lost in our sin. If not already in hell, we would be headed there very quickly. But I'm thankful that God made a way. I'm glad that God bridged the gulf and sent his only begotten Son to die in your stead and to die in my stead. And as the Apostle John put it, to die not just for your stead and my stead, but in the stead or for the sin of the whole world, Jesus Christ came. I'm thankful that God's not partial. God doesn't call just a select group. I'm glad God loves America. We can sing "God Bless America." God loves America. But did you know God loves China too? God loves Africa too. God loves Asia. God loves Australia. God loves mankind. And if we're not careful, we'll think that God has got a special place in his heart just for our country. And I'm glad that God has certainly blessed this land in which we live from sea to shine and see. God has blessed this country. Did you know that God has a heart for all of people? For every people. Every tongue and tribe and nation. God loves people. And He wants them to experience, if you're here this morning and you're saved, God wants them to experience what you have and I have experienced. And that is the forgiveness of sin through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you about that this morning. Philippians chapter number 4. I certainly enjoyed all the singing this morning. I have to admit that the two specials this morning were among my two favorites. And I didn't request them. But if I had a request, I don't know that I wouldn't have chosen both of those this morning. I love both of the songs that were sang this morning, and I appreciate those two songs and the message that's in those songs. I'm very appreciative of that message. You have your Bible open to Philippians chapter number 4. If you were to begin reading in Philippians and just start in chapter 1 and verse 1 and read all the way through chapter 4 to the close of the book, which we have right here before us, in chapter 4, you would read and you would find that this is a church located, one of the churches of Macedonia, the church at Philippi. It's a place where Paul and his missionary team passed through, and they planted a church there, one of their missionary journeys. And later Paul wrote this church back, and he began to instruct them and to give them doctrinal teaching. And he began to talk with them about some things that they had done that helped him in his travel, in his missionary endeavors. We come to chapter number 4 and we see where Paul personally begins to commend them and begins to talk with them about some of their personal care for him as a missionary, as a servant of God. This book is noted for a few things, but in particular, it's noted as a book that's written to a church that has great joy. The word joy or rejoicing or glad or gladness is mentioned in some form 17 times in these four short chapters. And it speaks to us about when we do things God's way, God will allow us in this life. And brethren, I want to tell you, this life can certainly be a lowland of sorrow. But can I tell you that there's a God in heaven that can give you joy in the midst of sorrow. There's a God in heaven that can give you peace right in the middle of a storm. Can give you calm right in the middle of turmoil. There's a God in heaven that has the resources and has given the instruction to make this life that you and I are presently in. It doesn't have to be a life of sorrow and a life of trouble and a life. Yes, those things will be present. But as I learned a long time ago, we've been studying in the book of Psalm 23, that great psalm, and we talked about it a little bit. It takes two mountains to make a valley. Amen? There's valleys in life, but I'm glad that for every valley there's two mountains. And God has something special for His people. And I want to talk to you this morning, if you're here and you're saved in the grace of God, I want to encourage you that God has something special in store for you if you will follow His instructions. One of the reasons that people get so put out with life, that they get so off track, that they get so full of despair, and they get so down on themselves in life, and many, as sad as it is, lose their will to live and their desire to continue in life. And some, by numbers that are astounding, young people even, are taking their life because the joy has been stripped from their life. The purpose has been alleviated and removed from their life. Why? Because we're not following the instruction of this great book, the Bible. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Only you can answer that question. I cannot answer that question for you, but I can tell you this. If you're saved in the grace of God, God has a purpose for your life. And the purpose that God has for your life comes with instructions. And it's called the Bible, the Word of God. Listen today and receive just a little bit of instruction that God has for you in the course of your life. You see, I do not believe in accidents. I believe in divine appointments. You are here this morning for an appointed time so that you can hear a small portion of instruction from God's Word that's going to help you in an area of your life. I'm going to talk to you this morning on the importance of giving to God. Not giving to the preacher. Now listen to me very carefully. I understand the time in which we live. I understand that we live in a time when we have these Hollywood-type preachers, these celebrity-type preachers that are flying around in private jets and decked out and all of this. I understand that. I am not talking this morning. I want to preface what I'm going to say with these statements. I am not speaking to you about giving to me as a preacher or any preacher as far as that goes. If you do that, that's between you and God. But that's not going to be what I preach this morning. I am not talking to you about giving to charitable organizations. I am talking to you this morning out of the Word of God about what it is to follow God's instruction in giving so that you can receive a blessing. I want you to notice verse number 19. What happens so often in life is that we have Christians and we have preachers and we have teachers that'll come along and they'll say, all right, let's open up the Bible and let's turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19 and I'm going to give you a promise. And they'll say, but my God, are you there in chapter 4 verse number 19? But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And everybody says, hey man, that sounds like good stuff. I'm glad that He's my God, and so I'm going to look to Him to supply all of my need. Well, that is taking God's Word out of context. In other words, what you have just done is you have reached in and you've taken a truth that doesn't belong to everyone, and you've applied it to everyone. See, it would be the same scenario as to say that all those in heaven and refer, well, everybody's going to heaven. Not everyone's going to heaven. Oh, I wish they were. Don't you? I wish everyone were going to heaven, but you know, everyone's not going to heaven. And so I'm not going to stand up and say, God is going to take all of you to heaven. No, God's not. God's going to take all of you that are saved to heaven. Amen. And so we have to be cautious about how we apply and interpret the Scripture. Now, what's going on here? What prompted and compelled this man of God under the divine inspiration of God's Holy Spirit to make such a broad promise as this? Look at it one more time. But my God, verse number 19, shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's answer a few questions from the Bible today, right out of this text. Who is He talking to? What kind of people are going to be able to claim that promise and experience this kind of power in their life? To every need that they have, God's going to meet. You know, I'd like to leave here today, and I'd like for you to leave here today realizing God has promised me that He'll meet every need I have. Wouldn't you like to leave here like the way today? I believe everyone would. Did you know that you can? And I'm going to show you from the Bible how you can do it. And you're not even going to have to write me a check in order for that to happen. Imagine that. All you're going to have to do is be obedient to what God said in His Word. That's all you have to do. Now, we either believe that God's going to do what He said, or we don't. We either believe that there's a group of people, there are some folks that God is saying, I'm going to meet all of your need, or we don't. I, for one, believe it, because God said it. So I want to find out who He's talking to so I can get in with that number. You belong to a church that is very similar to the church that Paul is writing to here. If you are a member of Fellowship Baptist Church, we have tried as much as within us is to line up with what the Scriptures teach so that we can be a part of what's being said here. Let's look at it. As I study chapter 4 of the book of Philippians, I find where Paul begins to instruct the church on different things with personal issues. He talked to Euodias and Syntyche there in chapter 4 and verse number 2, and he tried to get them to be peaceful with one another and to be of the same mind, to be of one accord and to live peaceably with one another. And then he went on down, he said, you know what, as believers in verse number 4, chapter 4, you ought to rejoice in the Lord. You may not be able to rejoice in your circumstances or your situation, but as a believer, you can rejoice in the Lord always. Is that what he said in verse 4, chapter 4? And again I say, rejoice. And then he said, you know what? As a believer in verse 6 and 7, you can have peace. Is that what he says? Is that what he says in chapter 4, verse 6 and 7? He said, be careful. That word be careful means anxious. Be careful for nothing. Don't be worrying about things. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Is that what he said? And the peace of God, verse 7, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. That word keep means guard. It's like a garrison that guards. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then in chapter number 4 and verse number 10, Paul begins to say, church, I want you to know some things I've noticed about you, and I want to commend you for it. He said, you have met a profile that's going to bring about God's promise on your life. And that's what I want to share with you in the few moments we have before we let out today. Let's look at the profile first of all. What kind of church is going to receive this kind of promise? Where we can leave here saying, my God shall supply all of your need. Well, first of all, if you look in verses 10, 11, 12, and 13, Paul said, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Now, I could read all the way down and through verse number 13, but did you notice what he just said there? What kind of church is going to be able to claim a promise that God's going to meet all of their need? A kind of church that's concerned about the needs of others. Amen. You know, we live in a world that's so wrapped up in the care of their own need instead of being concerned about the cares and needs of others. And here Paul said, I want you to know I've noticed something about you. You are concerned and you care about the need of others. That's part of the profile of Philippians chapter 4 and the church at Philippi. Number two, not only did they care in verses 10 through 13 about the needs of others, but if you look in verse 14 through 16, it said, notwithstanding, you have well done in verse number 14 that ye did communicate. That's an interesting word. He said it again. If you look in verse number 15, he said, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. You see that? So not only were they a church that cared about the needs of others, but they were a church that committed themselves in communicating with the servants of God. They cared. They cared that they were people that were going to China, that they were people that were going to Argentina, that they were people that were going to South Africa, that they were people that were going around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They cared that God had called a man and saved him out of a life of sin like Saul and made him into a Paul and sent him out to preach the gospel. They cared and they said, we want to get involved in what that man is doing. We cannot join up with his missionary team, but we can pray for his missionary team. And we can communicate, we can give, we can get involved. We're committed to that. So first of all, they cared about the needs of others. Second of all, they were committed unto God's servants and they were communicating with God's choice servant. And then third of all, notice if you would in verse number 17, Paul said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. That word account there is a bookkeeping. It's an accountant term. They were a church that understood that God pays in spiritual dividends. That God was wanting to open up an account and to invest in that church in things that he would not invest just in any church. I wonder if you realize that You're a part of a church like that today. But are you that way today? So let me ask you personally before I give you a few things that's going to help you to understand giving and receiving God's way, not man's way. Well, I tell you, man takes everything that God does and twists and turns it and makes it a mess. Do you care about the needs of others? No, I mean really. Not really. I'm not talking about do you watch sad commercials about dogs that have no shelter, no food, and you sit there and cry and say, I think I'm going to send a quarter a month so that this woman who sings in the arm of the angels will have some pet food. I'm not speaking to you about that this morning. Okay? I'm saying, do you care? Do you care that there are people alive this morning while we're meeting here, there are people who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ? Not one time. If you were to call the name of Jesus, they would look at you like, who? Who is Jesus? Does it matter to you that there are people that are swinging over hell, if you will, allegorically speaking, ready to drop in, and there's no one there to tell them that they don't have to go to that awful place called hell? That there's someone who has come and paid the price of their sin. Does that mean anything to you? Does that bother you? Does it mean anything that there's maybe a group of young people that live in your community, in my community, that would love to be at church today but didn't have a way? Their parents see no need for church, just like my parents didn't one day, and I am not saying that in a negative way. I thank God for my parents. Don't misunderstand me. But there are multitudes of people, young children, who would have loved to have been in Sunday school today. They would have loved to have been in a church service today. They would have loved that. They live in your community. They live in my community. Does that mean anything to you? Do you care about the needs of others? That there's elderly people that are shut in and nobody, I mean nobody ever comes by and says, good day to you. How are you doing today? And talks with them about their soul or talks with them about God or their life and just spends time with them. Do you care about the needs of others? Number one. Number two, are you committed to the servants that are willing to leave their home and the comfort of their house and leave their family and go wherever God sends them with the greatest message that God has ever given to man? And that is the message of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Glad day in my life when somebody shared that message with me. Oh, I am forever grateful that somebody cared enough about others to come to me and say, I want to tell you what Jesus has done for me in my life. I am so thankful for that. I am so thankful that that person told me and that God began to work in my heart and send others that told me. And I'm so glad that there were people that were committed to missions and giving and committed to a local church that people in the community might hear. Can I ask you this question? If everyone were as committed as you, would we be having church this morning? Would the lights be on? Would the air be on? Would the building be kept? See, they were committed. Notice what Paul said again in verse number 14 of chapter 4. This is what he said in chapter 4 of the book of Philippians. He said, notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Look at verse 15. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. These people cared. They were committed. They didn't just sit there and say, boy, I hope they make it. Oh, I hope Paul gets the gospel out. I sure hope that somebody tells them about Jesus. That's not what they did. They got involved. They committed themselves. They communicated with Paul. They got an offering together and they said, Paul, take this. Take it. And Paul said, this is not for me. Look again in verse number 17. He said, not because I desire a gift. This is not for me a Rolex watch. This is not for me a Learjet. This is not for me some fine car. No, he said, I am collecting this gift so I might use it for the gospel, that I might get the word of God out to people that have never heard. And he said, I want you to rest assured that it will abound to your account. God is going to put spiritual dividends into your spiritual bank account. Now that's what God said in verse number 17. And then he said this in verse number 18, but I have all. Paul said, please don't look at it like you're giving to the preacher. I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor and a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God. I want to give you a few things now as we look at that verse. You want to live your life knowing God's got this. Do you? I believe you do. Number one, I want you to notice the source of the supply. Notice what he said. But my God, not the bank. I'm glad for financial institutions. But the day that a church or an individual begins to rely on a financial institution, you cease to live by faith. The day that I began to use a credit card instead of saying, God, what would you have me to do? I'm not against credit cards altogether. But what I'm saying, if we're not careful, what we will do instead of praying and saying, God, what do you want me to do? God, how would you have this to be financed? God, you said I have not because I ask not. And God does say that. Amen. God says it. You have not because you ask not. So I'm asking that I might receive. You said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. So God, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. And I'm asking you, what would you have me to do? How would you have this to be financed? God said, do you care about the needs of others? Lord, you know I do. Are you committed to help and get the word of God out? Are you communicating with the servants of God? Are you communicating with those who have a burden for the lost? God, you know I do. Is there a fruit that's abounding in your account because you're involved in the process of giving and receiving? Yes, God, there is. Then I want to make you a promise, God said. The God of heaven, not the president of a bank, not the foreman of a factory, but the God of heaven said, I shall supply all of your need. God said, I'll do that. You believe it? We have folks in our church today that not only believe it, they've lived it. Your pastor's lived it. Many of you have lived it. Fellowship Baptist Church has lived it. There was a time in the history of this church where there was a gracious man, and I'll not embarrass him this morning. There was a man gracious enough, because the church was upside down and because the church was struggling, because the church was going through a dry spell, that he took money from his own account to help pay the bills at Fellowship Baptist Church. You say, preacher, what'd you do? Bring the oars in and say, we can't support missions and we can't run the buses and we're shutting down shop at Fellowship Baptist Church. We did just the opposite. We said, let's keep those buses rolling. Amen. There's children out there that want to make it to Sunday school. Let's keep the buses running. How could you say that, preacher? Because there's a promise in the Word of God that said God will meet all your need. Didn't say he'd meet all your greed. He said he'd meet all your need. And so we went to this man, and this man said, listen, hey, listen, you're the pastor. I'm behind you. Let's do it God's way. Amen? Let's do it God's way. Now the bank will say, listen, if you'll tell us how you're going to use this money, then we'll loan it to you. Well, we're going to give it. We're going to give it to missionaries. We're going to give it to the gas companies to put fuel in those buses so we can run those buses in Orange County and Greene County and Culpeper County and Madison County and bring those children to Sunday school. And the president of the banker might say, that's not the way you collect money. That's not the way you grow a bank account. That's the way God grows a bank account, though.
Amen. You say, what happened, preacher? Here we are. If I'm not mistaken, we've got our treasurer and assistant treasurer in here today. Every bill paid? Did we pay? Have we for the last 2 or 3 years paid right at double of what the mortgage bill is on this church? Had a man having to pay the bills, but because we didn't bring in the oars and say, well, God doesn't mean what he says. God's not going to take care of us. We can't do business God's way because we'll go broke that way. You'll go broke not doing it that way. You believe it? We either believe it or we don't, brethren. So here it is. But my God. Now, you see that word but? It's a conjunction. You didn't know I was that smart, did you? It's a conjunction. Sometimes it denotes contrast. And so when you see that word but, you might ought to perk your ear up because we're getting ready to say this and this hinges on what's been said. And so what he's saying here is this and this and this, but. Now what's he saying? He said, you met my one need, but God's going to meet all your need. Amen. You met my need out of your poverty. You didn't have a whole lot to give, but God's going to meet all your need out of the riches of his glory. He said, you need to really, really find out what you've tapped into here. So number one, the source of God's supply. But my God. But my God. Do you believe it, brethren? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Now listen, if you don't tithe, you can't claim this promise. No, no. People who don't tithe are God robbers. They're God robbers. You say, well, preacher, that's kind of strong. Well, you read Malachi chapter 3. Well, let's just read that, okay? Turn there if you would. You read Malachi chapter 3, and I'll let you see that God said that. Not me. God said this. In Malachi chapter 3, the Bible speaks of the tithe. And I'm not talking about the tithe this morning, though, but I want you to know something. You say, well, I give the faith promise missions. Well, if you're not tithing, you might as well just not give the faith promise missions. The curse is on you. Notice what the Bible says. Malachi chapter 3. This is the Bible now. The same Bible that says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son says this. Malachi chapter 3. Are you there? Look, if you would, in verse number 8. Malachi 3 verse 8. Will a man rob God? And we would almost immediately say, surely not. Surely not. Surely there wouldn't be a man among us that would rob God, preacher. Will a man rob God? And the people said, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? You see it there in verse 8? And God said, I'll tell you where. In tithes and offerings. You say, I throw a 20 in every time I go to church, preacher. If you're tipping God and not tithing, the curse of God's on your life. And I'm trying to help you this morning to understand giving God's way will bring God's blessing upon your life. And you can claim a promise that there'll not be a need in your life that God will not meet. What happens to God robbers? Well, he said in verse number 9, ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. You say, you believe God would curse a whole church that would rob him? I believe God curse a whole nation that would rob him. I do. You say, well, we seem to be struggling a little bit in this area and that area. And if you'll read this in verse number 11, God said, if you'll give now and do what's right, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. The God of heaven that's in control of everything said, if you will trust me, and you will be a good steward of what I give you, I'll make sure your every need is met. Now, I don't want anybody leaving here saying, well, the preacher said if we wrote him a check or if we gave him a salary increase or if we bought he and Mrs. Sharon a new car. I did not say that. I'm saying if you will give to God, if you will give to God God's way, then you can claim this promise. Back to Philippians chapter 4. There's been times in my life, and I don't want to make this about me, but I will tell you this. God has tested my faith severely. When I was young and just married, Sharon and I was in Bible school, and I would go in the door after work, taking my work clothes off, and she would have my work clothes ready. I mean, we had a system. Sometimes I'd come flying up the driveway, I mean, on two wheels. Amen. I was running behind, and I'd take my coat off, my work clothes off, and Sharon would have me. I'd cram food down, and out I'd go. And there were times that we got kind of slim. We called it Slim Pickens. You know who Slim Pickens is? He lived at my house. Amen. I mean, we got down to where it was tomato soup. You say, well, that ain't too bad. I know, we love it now. Now we eat because we want to. Then we eat it because we had to. Grilled cheese and tomato soup. How many of you like that? Amen? Amen. Good stuff. We used to have to eat it. Now we want to. We plan that for supper sometime. But did you know that God, we didn't stop tithing. We didn't stop giving to missions. We didn't stop. All these years, we didn't stop. What happened, preacher? God just writes you a check for $100,000? Oh, no. No. I just went into Bible college one night, and the dean called me in, and he said, Dale, he said, I need to talk to you. And I knew what he was going to tell me. At least I thought I did. And he said, I got to talk to you about your school bill. I said, yes, sir, Dr. Clark. I'm struggling a little bit. And he said, oh, it's paid in full. I said, what? He said, it's paid in full. I said, hey, man, that's great. Up through this month, he said, no, it's paid for the not only what was behind, it's paid for the rest of the year. I said, amen. Praise the Lord. It's good stuff. You say, preacher, why would God do that? I don't know. Maybe because we honored God's word and God honors those who honors his word. God's done that for you, hasn't he? Sure he has. God will meet every need you have. Now, don't listen carefully now. It didn't say every greed. It said every need. God will meet all your need. But now you got to honor his principles. You honor his principles, God will honor his promises. Right? But my God, he's the source. You believe there's meal in the barrel? Amen? You believe there's meal in the barrel? You believe that there's oil in the cruise? Do you believe that? Even though that it looks like there's not enough, that God will just, hands full of purpose, brethren, listen to me, hands full of purpose, God will just open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on those that will trust him and live according to his word. Number two, not only is there the source, my God. Can I tell you, Paul's God is your God too if you're saved. Paul's God is my God. My God. Look what it says. The surety. You see that word shall? Underline it. Put it in parentheses. If you have a highlighter, highlight it, because it doesn't say that he might. It doesn't say that, well, I hope God will do it. Well, I think God will do it, preacher. Paul didn't say, well, church, you know, I've been doing this for a little while. I'm just not sure if God's going to honor his promise or not. So I'm just going to say that God, he just might meet your need. Listen to me this morning. There's a God in heaven who owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And he has all the resources to meet all the need that every person has. The question is, are we going to take the key of faith and unlock the storehouse of God's supply and let him pour out the blessing on us? Or are we going to try to do it ourselves? Now, I want to tell you, I told that story, and I don't want you to say, well, that preacher, he must be a man of faith that can move mountains. Oh, I wished I was, but I'm not. There's been times I've doubted God, and I said, I've got to do this. And God said, okay, I'll let you do it. I don't like the way I do it. Amen. Are you there? You know what I'm saying? Have you ever tried to do it your way? I don't like the way I do it. You would think that I would be smart enough and that I've been doing this long enough to know that the preacher's way, man's way, doesn't work. But God's way works. God, I want you to do this. This is about you and not about me. My God shall There's been times, and I've taken some of the young couples, and we were talking about it last night, and they would say, "Preacher, we're upside down. We don't listen." There was, and I wouldn't embarrass a couple in this church, but I want to tell you something. They were without. They were living in their car. Listen to me. And they came to me as the pastor of the church, and they said, "We don't know what we're going to do." And I said, "We're going to pray, and we're going to watch God do a miracle in your life." And Sharon and I sit down with them upstairs, and God, listen. The old devil said, "Don't tell them to give. Don't tell them to give. They can't afford to give." And I almost surpassed and bypassed tithing. And the Spirit of God said, "How dare you? How I've blessed you and how I've met your every need. Don't you rob that young couple of a blessing." So I wrote in all capital letters up top, tithe. You pay your tithe. What happened, preacher? Well, there was a family of the church that said, "We'll give you a place to stay for a little while free." What happened after that? Well, there was a person that they just so happened to know that lived in this house, and they were going to be moving, and they wanted to rent that house, so they rented out to them. Now they have a nice house. They've got a car, two cars. I think their car payments have been cut in half. What do you mean, preacher? I'm saying that when we honor God, God honors us. You know who God does business with? Those who do business with Him. Amen. It's easy to sit in a church like this and say, "Amen, preacher, yeah, I believe that." But now you might be tested for the weeks out. Are you going to give your tithe? Are you going to give the Faith Promise Missions? Are you going to care about the needs of others? God may lay it on your heart today. And there may be a homeless man. And God will say, "Give that man $20. I'd never do that, preacher. You're going to miss a blessing. It's what you're going to do. Now listen, I'm not saying to be flippant with God's money, but I am saying this. We ought to walk so close to God that when God tells us to do something, we know it's God. And when God says do it, you do it. You believe me when I tell you, you'll receive it back fivefold. Fivefold. Maybe 100-fold. So, my God shall supply. So we see, first of all, the source, my God. We see the surety. Now, what's the scope? You tell me. Look what it says in verse 19. All your need. I'm glad God just hasn't met most of my need in life. Some of my need. God's met all of my needs. Just this past week, I was talking to Brother David. I was talking to Sharon. Just driving down the road, thinking about where God found me. Where God found me on the road of ruin and wreck, dependent, ignorant, rebellious. And God picked me up in His grace. And God held me in His arms. And God made His promises real to me. I haven't always been what I ought to be. But I want to testify to you here this morning that God's always been what He promised me He would be. He's never let me down. Never. And I could start right here and we could go around this building and every one of you would have to say the same thing. Preacher, God has never let me down. I've let Him down, preacher, but He's never let me down. God has met my every need. I look back over my life and I say, wow, I've got it good. Oh, don't misunderstand me now. I didn't say I've had it easy. I haven't had it easy. Some of you know some things and I could share some things, but that's not what God wants me to do this morning. I'm here to tell you, God will meet all your need. What's your need this morning? Can I tell you, God will meet it all. Listen to me now. God will meet it all. How's that going to happen, preacher? Write this verse of Scripture down. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It's going to be by you giving. Give, and it shall be given unto you. See, the world says, oh, no, you got to save. You got to keep. And then you'll have. That's not what God said. God said, you give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shall man give into your bosom. It'll be overflowing. That's God's way. That's God's way. Man is self-centered. Man is stingy. Man, We spend all of our time praying, God, give it to me. God, give it to me. What God wants you to do this morning, if you don't get anything else, please get this. Quit praying, God, give it to me, and let's start praying, God, give it through me. Amen. That is faith promise missions. God, you give it through me. How much do you want to give through me, God? How much can you trust me with? I won't keep it, God. If you tell me you want to give it through me, I'm not going to take it as though you gave it to me. What do you want to give through me? Amen? What do you want to give through me? That's faith promise missions in a nutshell. What do you want to give through me to worldwide evangelism? Give. Luke 6:38. You read that passage of scripture there, and you'll find that there's a word that keeps popping up. It's a little four-letter word that this world knows very little about. L-O-V-E. You start loving right, you'll start giving right. I'm just convinced of it. Read it when you get home. Wonderful passage of scripture. Luke 6. Began right there in about verse 26, 27, and read on through about 48. Oh, it's wonderful. Jesus said, oh, if you'll just love the way you ought to love, you'll give the way you ought to give, and I'll bless your life for it. Let me give you this final thought. Number one, we said that the source of God's supply is but my God. It's God. Number two, the surety of God's supply is shall. He shall. Number three, the scope of God's supply. All of your need. I don't know what you need. I don't. Sometimes I really don't even know what I need. But God does. God does. And here's a promise from God. He'll meet it all. But now, that's not to the selfish person. That's not to the God robber. That's not to anyone. That's to people who meet the criteria. Finally, as we get down to the substance. The substance. How's God going to meet all of my need and God going to meet all of your need? I want you to underline a word in your Bible that for several years I quoted this verse of Scripture wrong. And it hindered my interpretation of this scripture. Perhaps it has you, and perhaps it hasn't. I don't know, but let's see. Look at it. But my God shall supply all your need out of His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's not what the scripture says. What is the difference between out of His riches and glory and according to His riches and glory? Okay? Now we're talking about the substance. All right. Let's just suppose I have $1 million. And if we're going to do that, we're going to have to suppose. All right, I have $1 million. And I like this young man right here. Well, actually, I like both of these young men. But let's just say, you know what? I'm going to give these two young men out of my $1 million, I'm going to give out of it. Out of my $1 million, okay? I'm going to say, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you $10. Isaiah, $10. Cody, $10. Now I'm less $20. Why? Because I gave out of my $1 million. But that's not what God said He's going to do right here. He didn't say He was going to give out of. He said according to. According to. Which means that, first of all, we can't put a figure on how much God owns because He owns it all. And he's not going to give out of it, so it's not never going to dwindle. He's going to give according to it. That's right. And so when I'm looking to God to give to me, I'm not looking for God to give me $10 out of $1 million. I'm looking for God to give me according to, which means if God's got a lot, God's going to give me a lot. You say, I don't believe that. You've never trusted Him to do it. You ever trusted God to give you a lot? Don't miss this now. This is the Bible. He that soweth sparingly, write it down, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So if you're thinking, well, God's going to give out of it, then God, just give me enough to make ends meet. God, just give me enough to support that one missionary. I want to help get one missionary to the field. But now if you believe God has a lot and God will give you a lot, God, I want you to give through me. I want to help support 20 missionaries. I want to help get the gospel out. God, I want you to be able to trust me to get the gospel out to many people. There's a lot that don't have it. And so I'm not asking you to give me out of, I'm asking you to give me according to. And that's what Paul said he would do, isn't it? Big difference. There's a big difference. You think God's broke? You're probably asking for a little bit then. God's not broke. What kind of God would we serve that would say, hey, listen, come here, church, huddle up, come here, come here. There's a world out there that's dying and going to hell. Now y'all go to work and send people out there to get them saved for me. You don't think that's the kind of God we serve, do you? I know it's not. If we would quit trying to finance God's program, let God finance it, we'd be amazed what God would do through us. We'd be amazed. But somehow we've got this thing, like, you know, we do it even when it comes to getting saved, don't we? We feel like, well, I got to help God get me to heaven. Really? Really? You're going to help the God of heaven get you to heaven? That's the way we think. Well, I got to help God, you know, get these people saved. I got to go home and work my budget out and see if I can afford to give the missions. You got it all wrong, brother. You've got it all wrong. That's why more and more and more people every year, the number of people that have never heard the gospel are increasing and the number that are hearing it are decreasing because we're trying to finance God's program. Let's let God finance His program. Amen. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. Wouldn't that take living by faith? I think that's the way God said He wanted us to live. By faith. Am I right, church? You say, I don't know if I like his faith preaching or not, preacher. That's why a lot of people, they're sad all the time. Man, they're walking around in their own energy. They're doing everything by their own means. They're doing it all. Why don't you let God do it? Why don't I let God do it and let's see what God will do? You ready to take that challenge? Amen. You want things to pick up around your neck of the woods? Let God start doing some things. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Now, God laid this message on my heart. And it wasn't even in Philippians. I was reading in Genesis. How do you get from Genesis to Philippians? Well, y'all know how I get around. Amen. Remember, go home and read this today. It'll be a great blessing to you. Remember when Jacob went to Bethel. Genesis 28. Write it down. Go home, look at it. Genesis 28. Jacob went to Bethel the first time. His name was Jacob then. Jacob. And you know what he told God? He said, God, I'll serve you if you'll feed me and put clothes on my back. I tell you, Jacob, he didn't understand, did he? But you know what God did? God said, Jacob, you know what we say down south when somebody does something like that? Bless his heart. You know, God said, bless his heart. Oh, Jacob. Jacob don't understand. You don't bargain with me, Jacob, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. So you fast forward from Genesis 28 to Genesis 48 and 49. You know what happens in Genesis 48 and 49? Jacob's getting ready to die. I challenge you. Genesis chapter number 48, 49, you'll find where Jacob calls his sons and his grandsons together, and he brings his grandsons in, and he says, I tell you what, I'm getting ready to die. And I want to tell you something about the God I serve because I want you to serve Him too. He's laying His hand on His grandchildren's head. He said, God has fed me all of these years. Isn't that something? Jacob asked him to do it back in the beginning, and God fed him all the way through. I look around here, God's fed you too. You say, how do you know, preacher? I'm not going to say you won't like me. God feeds us. He puts raiment on us. God takes care of us. And God will continue to take care of us. God will meet all your need. You don't have to worry about where's my next meal coming from. Oh, I'm fretting. I'm anxious. How am I going to make ends meet? Why are you worried about that? Why don't you let your Heavenly Father take care of that? Amen? Why don't you let God take care of you? He will, if you'll do it God's way. He'll meet all your need. Our heads